everyone. It's Eitan Schoenberg. I'm here with Emmett Laurent with Minnesota Daily, and you're listening to the Gold Standard Podcast, where we talk about all things sports.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. It's been a big week for Gopher Sports. What do you got?
I mean, I can start off with women's hockey. They had their first series again at home against Boston University. Nice little sweep. They won 1-0 on Friday. That game was kind of stale. Scoring didn't crack open until very late. And then 5-2 on Sunday. That was a way more exciting game. I was at both. Very happy to see the new players are getting acclimated, things like that. Starting the season 4-0-0, and they're number two in the rankings behind Wisconsin. So,
who would you tell the people listening to look for when watching Gopher hockey?
So easy to say, but Abby Murphy. I don't know if you saw the highlight from her penalty shot goal, but that was ridiculous.
I did see that. That was sweet.
That was ridiculous. I mean, it takes a lot of skill to pull off something that looks so simple for a lot of people that like. Maybe aren't super familiar with hockey, kind of just looked like a slower play that wasn't super, skillful. But when you really understand, you kind of see how that takes a lot of like reading where the goalie is and positioning, things like that, timing the shot. But yeah, that was pretty cool. It was very cool to see that all over social media too.
Some big expectations for the team this year, you'd say?
You know, last year, I unofficially speaking, but it really felt like a rebuild year. I mean, they lost a bunch of great players after the 22-23 season. Taylor Heisey, obviously, headlining that group, and Grace Sumwinkle, those players. It was a good bridge year between that year, 2022-23, and then now. Last year kind of allowed, you know, the sophomores to move up, and now they're the juniors now, and they're kind of taking the reins of the team. Josefin Bubang, Nelly Lightning, two European players that are really starting to stand out. Josefin Bubang had a great year last year. She plays with Murphy. She plays with Ella Huber. Huber and Murphy go back, way back. They've played together since like 12, 13 years old. So they are a force to be reckoned with. Last year, they accounted for over half the team scoring. So just that line. Yeah, they're going to be pretty exciting to watch this year.
What is the game that everyone needs to go to that's on the schedule?
Oh, the border battle. 100%. October 18th, 19th, border battle. You got to be there, Ritter Arena. It is a crazy atmosphere. I have been watching that series since freshman year, and it never disappoints. So.
All right, I'll be there, and everyone listening should be there. All right, let's just get right into the thing everyone's probably thinking about is the football team. Upsets number 11 USC 24-17 last Saturday. How are you feeling about that?
As a student at the U, that was one of the coolest experiences.
I was there. I was second row, so I got on that field fast, and I got trampled fast, and I got hit over by Darius Taylor fast, but it's all part of the experience, right?
Yeah, all part of the experience. That's like, I always heard about the, you know, Penn State game, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I was at that one. I got a storm. As a little kid, I got a storm to the field, so that was very fun, but this was a better feeling. Being at the school and being a student was like, I felt so much like happiness jumping on that field.
Oh yeah, you have a much different appreciation once you're a student. For sure. I mean, okay, I was working that game, so I was not able to storm the field. Oh, however, I still, it was cool to like watch from above, like the top of the student section, and I got to see, you know, right before the Gophers scored to take the lead, you can see all the fans coming down from the top section to go down to the lower bowl so they can get ready to storm the field.
I was like in the second row, and then I like look over, I'm like, why are there so many people close to me? And then I look back and there's all these people coming down. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm about to get pushed really hard. But in the game, I mean, talk about kind of like a range of emotions, I'd say. I mean, they start, they get the game to 10-10, and it honestly still felt like anyone's game. And then USC scores 17-10. And I was like, I just don't know how they're going to be able to stay in this. And then they get the sack interception where he hits his arm and it falls into our guy's hands perfectly. We go down, score, get the ball back, score again, but go through that emotion of Max Brosmer not being in, and then everyone on the replay booth watching, and we're like, he's in, like he's got to be in. And then they finally call it back. And I don't even think it felt really like real that they could win until they actually kneeled the ball out.
It honestly, a big part of it, like I said, watching from a distance, the student section was huge.
It was rocking.
And yeah, the student section was huge in like determining like the overall emotion and like the vibe of the stadium. Like play being review, dead silent, things like that. But oh my God, once that was, the touchdown was called. Oh, that was crazy, the eruption there.
I don't think I realized how loud it was really until like when I got home and I watched like the replay on Big Ten Network, I could hear the crowd erupt. I'm like, this sounds like a football, like an NFL game. Like we have a big stadium, but it's only 54,000. Like you go down to Michigan, like that's 112. We got pretty loud for 54,000 people.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you bring up Michigan. I was talking about that the last time I was on the podcast because I was there for the game against the Gophers. in the student section. And that's like seeing that game and seeing like, I don't know, the fight of the team and keeping it close with a team that was pretty highly ranked, like gave me a lot of hope coming into the USC game.
It's almost like a weird feeling because if the Gophers beat Michigan and then come back and beat USC, where does that like put them? And you can play what ifs all day for sure, but like that's a 4-2 team with two ranked wins. That might be a ranked team. So I think it's encouraging for the Gophers going forward for some, they still got some uphill battles with Penn State in a couple weeks, but there was a lot of other upsets. I think it was just something was in the air. There was a week of upsets. So what other upsets did you see?
When I heard that Vanderbilt was up on Alabama, dude, Alabama's got time.
Yeah,
there's no way. And then, of course, I mean, like you said, something was in the air that night, man.
Yeah.
Bunch of top 10 ranked teams.
Vanderbilt, I think they led the whole game. I don't think they ever lost the lead. But then they, like, got down to, like, 2 minutes left in the game, and they score that. Alabama scores that end-around touchdown to Ryan Williams, and I was like, Alabama's going to win this game. And Vanderbilt held on.
Yeah. I mean, these teams have fight.
Coy Parrish, we could talk about him for a long time, but true freshman from Esko, Minnesota. He didn't play the first couple weeks, was only on special teams. Now he's getting a full role at safety, returning kicks and punts. He honestly looks fearless. I think he returned a kick that like his foot was like on the edge of the out of bounds. And I'm like, why? But he's just so fearless. And obviously he knows better than I do. And then he gets that interception at the end. I think he jumped like 40 feet in the air. Like he was flying. I was like, okay, Michael Jordan. Like that was crazy.
That's a moment people are going to be able to look back on for years and be like, that was ridiculous.
The team kind of came together. A few other standout players, I'd say. I mean, Justin Wally played great. I think at the end of the game, when USC was trying to come back, they kept throwing at him and he kept breaking up every pass. And I was like, yeah, they have to throw it somewhere else because he's just blanketing the receivers. And our defense, our number one in the country, number one in pass yards allowed, like tied for most interceptions. So they're doing something on the defense, right?
For sure. USC had that drive at the end of the game, too. People are getting a little nervous, you know?
They had a long, like, crossing route for, like, 30 yards. I was like, oh, crap, here we go. Yeah, we should move on. But, I mean, the Gophers play UCLA this week. So, I don't know. I haven't watched too much UCLA, but it's a game hopefully the Gophers can win before they get a bye week. And then they got Maryland, I think.
Yeah, Maryland on the 26th at home.
And then, like I said before, Penn State. That'll be another opportunity for the Gopher fans to rush the field.
Yeah, that'd be incredible. Then they got to rank them at that point. I mean, that same night, Gopher volleyball falling, USC. I mean, Gopher football able to get it done with USC, but volleyball unfortunately dropped it 3-1. But what have you seen from volleyball?
Yeah, the volleyball team has experienced a lot of ups and downs this year. I mean, going way back, they beat number one Texas at the time, which was an amazing game. They started their season against 3 straight ranked opponents, so they've definitely been in the ringer. And Coach Keegan Cook has talked a lot about parity specifically in sports in general, but like the teams you would consider not as good are really close to the best teams. And I think that means if you do have a little bit of an off night, you're going to go to 5 sets. And the Gophers volleyball team has gone to 5 sets a lot. And that's a pretty tiring thing to be doing every night, back-to-back nights. I think they're one of like 2 teams in the Big Ten to play back-to-backs like they have been playing. Like they played UCLA Friday, USC Saturday. And that's just tiring. And I mean, they just need to work on a little bit of consistency with what they're doing. They obviously have the talent with like Melanie Schaffmaster, Julia Hansen, Lydia Grote. They know they can do it. And I've seen a sense of like urgency from a lot of the redshirt seniors because they got a lot of older players on the team that they can do something with this season, but it's just consistency, I think, all around. And they have a lot. I mean, they're going to have countless opportunities to show what they can do. They're in the thick of the Big Ten schedule now. They got Penn State coming up. Penn State's just pretty good at every sport, so the Gophers have a big task in every sport against them. But I think mainly the volleyball team, everyone should go to a game because the Pav is awesome and the Pav rocks. But if they can just get all their players healthy, I think they're going to be able to make a run.
Staying on the topic of Penn State, kind of a not so seamless transition, but new seamless Gophers stuff. Goaltender, Liam Soulier, former Penn State goalie. Same night, Gophers upset USC in football. Men's hockey took an exhibition win over St. Cloud State 5-1. Another transfer, Matthew Wood from UConn, got his start in the maroon and gold. Good to see him too. Pretty excited to see what he can do in the Big Ten. Nathan Airey, that's another thing. Just with Justin Close leaving, I'm excited to see how this new goaltending, you know, tandem. Like Bob Motzko last year talked about how Nathan Airey is kind of like the goalie of the future now. Uh-huh. I mean, there's a lot of hype surrounding him. a lot of hype surrounding the new freshmen that got to play. I mean, they're top five in USCHL ranking. They're second highest Big Ten ranked team in the country behind Michigan State. They've got a lot of things good for them. They continue their season in Las Vegas, actually, at the Icebreaker tournament. They got Air Force. They might face Omaha, depending on how that tournament plays out, which would be a nice little rematch from the NCAA regionals. That was a pretty good game. Yeah, Jackson Nelson had a great game. He, obviously, he's moved on to pro. But
what are you looking for on the team specifically for them to, I don't want to say step up from last year, but just maybe get back to like the championship, you know, and get really back to those winning ways?
I really think, I mean, Matthew Wood is going to be a very, very, very solid scoring asset right. for them. I mean, he was pretty good with UConn. So the Gophers being able to land him. And I mean, it's not very often, I mean, at least recently, that you see the Gophers, you know, landing transfer portals. And then now they got like a potential starting goalie
right.
out of the transfer portal. And then another like top scorer out of the transfer portal. So obviously Snuggerud coming back was massive for them. I mean, sophomores, Jimmy Clark, Oliver Moore, Sam Renzel. I guess those guys just, it's kind of similar to the women's, honestly. Just like the development of those younger players and them being able to move up and step into new roles. Just, I think it'll be a better season for them because of those players, you know, developing. Brody Lamb, mm-hmm. Connor Kurth, again, players that have been in the program long enough that they've, I mean, Lamb had a great year last year. Kurth as well. Motzko, beginning of last year, talked about both of them, you know, really breaking through, especially in the Frozen Four run of 2023. So
you kind of hit that one season or two seasons where everyone kind of comes together, so that'll be good. All right, I'm gonna ask you again, what's the game everyone's got to go to?
Honestly, Michigan State.
Okay, why?
They had a pretty close series against Michigan State last year. Yeah, I mean, Michigan State, again, I think it's fighting for that crown of mm-hmm. who's at the top of the Big Ten, you know, because Michigan State was ranked on top of that Big Ten preseason poll. So Gophers are number two, and that's just going to be, I think, the battle between, you know, who gets bragging rights for the Big Ten for the time being. Yeah,
for sure. That'll be intense. All right, before we get out of here, we got to talk Lynx basketball.
Oh, yeah.
WNBA finals. The Lynx are bound for that. They just won. What are you feeling?
Hyped.
Hyped? Hyped. One word. Yeah, explain your thoughts in one word. Hype.
Dude, I love seeing, you know, Minnesota sports succeed, and the Lynx obviously have that history of championships, and yeah, them getting back to that championship it's pretty exciting. Like, there's just a certain feeling like in the city when you know that there's like a sports team. Like, you saw it with the Timberwolves when they were on their little mm-hmm. run. Like, there's just that vibe in the city that, you know, that's brought by a sports team having success.
I mean, the Lynx are awesome. I mean, we could talk all day about the team. Nafisa Collier, defensive player of the year, MVP runner-up. She's great. I mean, she's consistently out there at the forward position, just getting boards, getting points. I mean, she, in the first series, she tied the record, the WNBA playoff record, with 42 points. So, I mean, I just can't speak enough about her and just how the team's been able to seamlessly kind of add new people like Courtney Williams, Alana Smith, and just be able to make this run. Because I know, obviously, yes, they have championship DNA, but they had a few down years. And I think to get back here, it's almost like that expectation, and which is like something Minnesota sports is not used to, being like that team, like the heavyweight team. So they're going to face the Liberty, who have not won a championship in their history. I think their inaugural season was in 1997, if that's correct. And the Lynx had the regular season series lead against them 3-1, including the Commissioner's Cup game. So they got a nice little check for that one. I know the players were excited about that. What are you feeling here? What do you think?
I mean, I was reading that ESPN report, and there's, I mean, it's a close matchup. Obviously, the Lynx had the number in the regular season, but as it goes for all sports, playoffs are just a different beast. But I definitely think getting that home win against Connecticut was a good motivator moving into the finals. But I was actually going to ask you, how did they get back to this point of being like a championship contending team?
How did they get back to this point? I think it's the additions, honestly. I mean, I briefly said it, but Courtney Williams, she's amazing. She stepped into more of a truer point guard role this year from her past. She's a little bit older, but she just has really had that quick connection with the players, I'd say. I think from going back to the start of the season, I was at the first few games, and she just was able to get in these high pick and roll scenarios where she just feeds the post and then she gets into her mid-range. And I think anyone who like knows Courtney Williams knows that she loves the mid-range. And you also know, if you're a basketball fan, the mid-range is the worst shot in basketball, because if you can step back three feet to get a three-pointer and get an extra point, you're going to do that. But she just is able to completely change the game, and she slows the game down when she needs to. I think she has a really good control. It's almost like a Chris Paul type of player, and I think that's what the Lynx were really missing, was that true point guard. And I mean, I think with Nafisa too, just really, I mean, she's amazing. She obviously was on like the USA team. And I think it was almost like the same thing of like these players just getting a little bit better, and these small additions that you thought maybe wouldn't work out, or maybe not work out as good as you think. Sometimes you just got to take swings for it, you know, kind of like the Timberwolves are doing now with their big trade. Like, you just got to do things and hope they work out.
And you know what? That's just the trend of Minnesota sports right now. You know, things are building.
We're underdogs. Yeah. I mean, you gotta swing. You got to take chances on old players. Max Brausmer. I mean, it's just, it feels like a little theme going on here. Sam Darnold, Vikings 5-0. We didn't even write that down, but the Vikings are 5-0. That's pretty good. Just beat the Jets. Got Coach Robert Saleh fired. Not actually, but I think Aaron Rodgers is the one who got him fired. But I think it's a good time to be a Minnesota sports fan.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, Gopher fans can look ahead to men's hockey season getting kicked off. Football with UCLA this weekend. It's a good time to be.
There's so many things. So if you want a sport to watch, you can almost watch one every night now. And then basketball will come soon enough. So there's some exciting stuff. But I think that's all we got for you. Unless, Eitan, you got anything else?
Utah hockey.
A little bit of a funky stadium, you said?
Yeah. I mean, it's not built for hockey. Delta Center was definitely not built for hockey. If you watched the game last night, they had large advertisements behind the first fan section. There's like a big wall, and it's a very short section, very few rows. It looks like it was less than 10 rows, and then it goes up to the 200 levels. But, the fans are rocking, even though, I don't know, I think it's 12,000 is the capacity.
Only 12?
Like, which is, compared to other NHL arenas, it's like, I think it's probably one of the smallest ones. I mean, obviously bigger than what Arizona had before they got relocated.
Right. Yeah, of course. But, and the fans are rocking. When they scored that first goal, it got pretty wicked in there.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks as a Hawks fan, but also really exciting because kind of this revival of like a franchise is really cool to see. It's really cool to experience. I mean, very recently too, we've seen a lot of changes in the hockey, relocation and new franchise starting up. Obviously, you got Vegas in 2017, Seattle in 2021, and then now you got Utah.
I mean, they just keep expanding. Other sports should take a page out of their book. I mean, basketball needs to start expanding. Like, what are we doing? I mean, Seattle needs a team, so Vegas always needs a team.
Vegas
needs a team in every sport. So
yeah. I mean, they're at 32 right now. That's the golden number.
It is a golden
32,
number.
32, 16. So half the league makes the playoff, half the league doesn't make the playoff.
That's what I'm saying. Basketball is 30, so let's get two more teams in there. NFL already has 32. We don't need any more there. 32 is the golden number.
Yeah, 32 is the golden number.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. This episode was written by Emmett Loren and Eitan Schoenberg and produced by Kaylee Sorovi. As always, we appreciate you listening in, and feel free to send a message to our email inbox at akarowski@mndaily.com with any questions, comments, or concerns. This has been the Gold Standard Podcast. Take care, everyone.